Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of TAG Immobilien AG regarding the publication of the interim statement Q1 2022. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by the zero on your telephone for an operator assistant. May I now hand you over to Martin Thiel, CFO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Yeah, many thanks and good morning, everyone. This is Martin from TAG. Many thanks for dialing in for our Q1 2022 conference call. As always, we will go together with you through the presentation, try to make it comprehensive, and of course, after that, we have enough time to discuss and to answer your questions. Let's start with page number four, which is the highlights slide, and start with the operational development in Germany. Looking at the vacancy development in the first quarter, well, first of all, we saw something that we've seen also in the past. That means a slight increase in the vacancy rates in our residential units. In this case, slightly up by 20 basis points from 5.5% to 5.7%, a kind of seasonality that we see now for years. But, and I think that's important to mention, already after the balance sheet date, we've seen a reduction in vacancy rate. The number from April was 5.5%. Number from May was around 5.3%, our current vacancy rate. So already we are in a reduction of vacancy rates in 2022, and we are, in this regard, very optimistic that 2022 will be a very good year in this regard. Looking at like-for-like rental growth, I would say that's basically unchanged to the previous financial year. We are even a little bit better, especially looking at the total like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction, which stands at 1.5%. Perhaps you know that the guidance is for the full year 2022 between 1.5 and 2%. So with the expected further reduction in vacancy in the next quarters, that should be very much achievable. FFO1 is up 5% year on year and came out at 47.8 million. And also compared to the previous quarter, which you see on this slide, that ended with 44.5 million, that's an increase. A quick look on EPRA NTA and LTV already at this stage. I will come back to that later in more detail. We saw now an EPRA NTA of 24.13 and an LTV of 47.3%. Both developments, that means the reduction in EPRA NTA and the increase in LTV, are nearly purely the result of the Robic acquisition, which we accounted for the first time at the 31st of March. In the first quarter of 2022, there have been no portfolio acquisitions in Germany. We disposed some non-core assets in Germany, 321 units all in all, and mainly around book value. Coming to the next slide and looking at our business in Poland, first of all, it's important to mention all the figures that you see regarding the P&L in Q1 2022 exclude Robic. The first-time consolidation for Robic was at the 31st of March 2022. That means that the balance sheet already includes Robic, and as a consequence, LTV includes Robic, EPRA NTA includes Robic, but no numbers in the P&L include Robic. This will be the case now from the second quarter onwards. Therefore, the revenues from sale of properties were quite small, as this is now purely the still remaining and in the meantime quite small sales business from our first subsidiary Vantage. There will be more then, of course, in the second, third and fourth quarter when we now fully consolidate Robic. Looking at the total pipeline that we have in Poland, you see the significant increase now after the first-time consolidation of Robic. All in all, roughly 25,000 potential units that came now into our group. And if you look at the total numbers, which is here presented in the column total Q1 2022, at the pipeline numbers, we've got nearly 19,000 units or potential units as land bank and under construction already for the rental business. And for the sales business, roughly 18,000 units. That brings us to a total pipeline in terms of units of around 37,000 units, and that translates into a GAV for the Polish portfolio of a little bit more than 1 billion. Effectively, this means that when we look at the land bank that we already own, there's absolutely no pressure on us to do now significant acquisitions in the future. You know that our midterm target is to have 20,000 residential for rent units in Poland in the next 6 to 7 years. And basically, we are all already there, at least in terms of land bank units. Of course, we have to construct all these units in the next years. But in this market environment, I think it's good to say that we can really now be selective with our future acquisitions. Yeah, as I said, Robert, the transaction closed at the 31st of March. Final equity purchase price, we already communicated that was around 540 million euros. Let's take a look at page number 7, which is the income statement that includes Germany and Poland, and again Poland excluding Robic because consolidation was then later. A positive development in the net rental income, which is still coming more or less only from Germany, or the Polish part is still very, very small. We had improved rental income and also lower maintenance cost of 1 million in the first quarter. But please don't take this as a kind of trend that we reduce now maintenance costs. You will see something similar when we discuss the CapEx development, which was also lower than in the first quarter of 2021. And maintenance as well as CapEx is nothing that is extremely stable quarter on quarter. We expect that we are in the course of 2022 on the same maintenance and CapEx levels than in the previous year. And of course, we also see in these items cost inflation. So therefore, a reduction for the full year 2022 is nothing you should expect. Where a reduction is already observable is in the personal expenses, especially looking at our German business. We had here a reduction quarter on quarter of 2.1 million. Where the largest part is coming from the German business, as I said. What have we done here? During the course of 2021, we had some internal changes in our organization structure, mainly referring to the customer service department and the shared service center, where we were able to reduce our headcount in this department and to operate the portfolio more efficiently. And this is, of course, good to see that we already have a purely visible FFO impact in the Q1 2022 from this. There was no valuation, as always, at the end of the first quarter 2022. The next valuation will follow, as in the past years, in the middle of the year, meaning on the 30th of June. You know that we had, like the whole sector in 2021, a very strong valuation uplift. We ended up at a 9% pure valuation gain in 2021. We have not really reliable estimates, final numbers, something like that for the half year. But if you ask us, well, what should we expect? First of all, clearly we expect further valuation gains in the course of 2022 and also the first half. Is it as strong as in the first half 2021? We are a little bit careful around that. So that should be a good result. But of course, one has to observe how interest rate environments develop in Germany. We are convinced that should have a dampening effect. So we are far away from any drop in values. But personally, and I think that's nothing really new what we're discussing here, we expect that the yield compression that we've seen in the past years should come more to a level which is more sustainable and which is then also something that we simply prefer if this is then a continuous slight increase than this strong increases that we had in the past. Yeah, in total, consolidated net profit amounted to 32 million, out of which the largest part was coming from Germany, the Polish business, again, excluding Robic, with a slightly positive result of 1.2 million. Page number 8 shows the EBITDA, FFO, and AFFO development. And good to see that the EBITDA improved by 4.5 million, mainly as a result of higher net rental income and also better service results, as well as the lower personal expenses. That's something that we already discussed. Financing expenses were roughly on the same level as in the previous quarter, and we had 1 million higher cash taxes. So that led to an FFO increase quarter on quarter compared with the previous quarter by 3.5 million. If you look at the results of operations Poland, that's with 1.3 million negative. Why is that the case? You see here a higher than usual tax effect that reduces the net income from Poland, which is or which has been 1.2 million now to the 1.3 million result operations from Poland. That's something that is not unusual in Poland. You have here a time lag between realization of revenues and the point in time where under Polish GAAP or under Polish tax law and the income taxes are due, meaning if you hand over an apartment in the fourth quarter, then in the first quarter of the following year, there's a kind of formal notarization act still with the buyer that leads then to the point in time where income taxes are due. So therefore, good sales result in the fourth quarter means not a tax expense in the fourth quarter, in my example, but a tax expense in the first quarter of the following year. And this is what we see here. But of course, for the full year, we expect a quite strong result, Operations Poland. We will discuss the guidance later. So this is something just temporary. Next page, page number 9, shows the EPRA NTE development for 2021 and for the first quarter 2022. Well, I mean, the other effect that you see in the first quarter is more or less the ongoing result. We saw a reduction of 1.65 euros per share coming from the Robic acquisition, and which is basically the Robic goodwill. The Robic goodwill was not written down, so we have in the balance sheet a goodwill of roughly 214 million euros, but you know that this is excluded from the EPRA NTA calculation. So again, we account for the Robic goodwill, of course, as an intangible asset in the balance sheet. The amount is roughly 240 million, but for purpose of the EPRA NTA calculation, we have to exclude this goodwill, and therefore we have seen this reduction in EPRA NTA from the Robic acquisition. Page number 10 shows the financing structure. I already mentioned that the LTV is now slightly above our LTV target. LTV came up 400 basis points higher than in the previous quarter, which is then a consequence of the purchase price payment for Robic, which was done from the bridge loan that we had in place. So let me clearly state that the 45% LTV target is unchanged. So the 47% should be something temporarily. And we also see in the maturity profile, the bridge loan included, and all the numbers coming from average or referring to average maturities, referring to average interest rates, include this bridge loan of 540 million at 31st of March 2022. And basically it's unchanged what we said already at the beginning of the year. The clear plan is to take out this bridge loan in the course of 2022 via capital market transactions. The bridge loans, just to remember that, matures at the latest in July 2023, so that's still more than 1 year maturity. Quick look on page number 12, which shows an overview of the portfolio. In the meanwhile, the total GAV after the first-time acquisition of Robic grew to 7.5 billion, out of which roughly 1 billion is from the Polish portfolio and 6.5 billion is from the German portfolio. Page number 13 shows the split of like-for-like rental growth. As I already said, slight increase in like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction. Excluding vacancy reduction, we came out at 1.4%. And if you look at the distribution that's on the of this like-for-like rental growth, that's on the bottom left of page number 13, you see that this is something like in the previous quarters, so still a small impact from realization surcharge. And the main part of the rental growth is coming from tenant turnover and from rent increases for existing tenants. And that leads to the fact that we still only had to invest 19.4 euros per square meter. You see this on the top right, which is absolutely in line to what we had spent in the previous years. But again, important to point out, as you know, we have published our decarbonization strategy with the full year financial figures. So midterm, over the course of the next year, you should expect that these investments are going up to 25 euros roughly. to get our portfolio climate neutral by 2045. So it's not a massive increase. That's something which is very much doable for us. And of course, the impact from the mobilization surcharge on our like-for-like rental growth will increase as we're simply spending more to reduce our CO2 emissions. And this leads then to the potential higher rent decreases in the course of the next years. Page 14 shows the development in vacancy rates in our German portfolio. I think we've already discussed this. Once again, good to see that vacancy in May 2022 is already down to 5.3%. Yes, some words on our Polish portfolio and our Polish business. That's shown as an overview with a lot of hopefully helpful numbers on page number 16. In total, the pipeline for our Polish portfolio now adds up to more than 37,000 units with our two platforms currently, Vantage and Robic in Poland. It's the clear plan to combine these two platforms so that we have one combined entity, one platform in Poland. We are right now in the middle of the integration process between Vantage and Robic. So this is very much on the way, and we want to complete this process in the course of the year. And we're very proud and very happy that we have here really the possibility to combine two very successful teams in Poland to create, hopefully quite soon, Poland's largest residential landlord. Looking at the Polish market, I mean, how's the situation currently? It's clearly challenging. So not really new is the topic of construction price inflation. But we can tell you that until now, the construction sites are still running and it's basically in plan. I mean, of course, there are bottlenecks in the supply chain visible, but so far our teams in Poland were always able to manage that. So, of course, it gets more and more difficult the longer the war in the Ukraine takes. But for now, we're quite satisfied with the development in Poland. So short-term, this war has clearly a risk for us. Mid-term, I mean, it's hard to say this, but we are convinced that this has for us and for the Polish market a positive impact. Where is this coming from? Well, at the moment, we see a huge inflow of people into the Polish market. If the press articles and the announcements are correct, more than 3 million people from the Ukraine have already entered Poland. And for a country with 38 million people, that's of course a massive inflow. And it's clear not everyone will stay after the war in Poland, but if only a certain percentage of that people stay in Poland, that's extremely helpful for the Polish economy, firstly. And secondly, of course, it will create strong demand for the Polish residential market. So therefore, we're convinced that the market will see very good development in the past years. And what we already observed is a very strong demand for the rental business in Poland. Selling apartments, of course, in an environment with higher interest rates is something that will be more difficult. Is this really a problem for us? That's not really a problem, because you know that our main focus is on the residential for rent business. And if we need to even convert more projects into residential for rent projects, that's, of course, something we can do. So we're here quite flexible to react. So far, again, we don't see really very negative developments in the market, but we have, of course, to closely observe that. But again, the midterm outlook in Poland is, from our point of view, very positive. Page 17 shows, again, the current projects already on offer. The vacancy rate of 2.9% confirms what I have already said. Demand for rental product in Poland, not only because of the refugee wave from the Ukraine, also because of other trends, is extremely strong. So we're very happy that the first projects were as planned and even a little bit better. Yeah, final look on page number 19 on the guidance, FFO and dividend, and that's unchanged. So we're still guiding. And if you look at the numbers, it's, I think, fair to say that we're in a good way. For an FFO1 of in the midpoint 190 million and an FFO2 including the business in Poland of in the midpoint 250 million. So that means roughly 60 million is the expected results operation Poland. Now from the second quarter onwards, including the new ROBYG acquisition, that would translate into a 32% increase year-on-year and look at the FFO development, which is in 2022 still from the German business, that would be a 5% increase year-on-year without any further acquisitions or without any further disposals. And the dividend guidance stands unchanged at 98 cents. That's, as in the previous years, 75% payout from FFO1. You know that we've paid out last week 93 cents per share dividend for the financial year 2021 after our AGM. That's it from my side as an overview of the first quarter 2022. Many thanks so far for listening, and of course, now we're happy to take your questions.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on the telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We have a first question. It's from Sander Bank of Barclays. The line is now open for you.
Hi, team. Good morning, and thanks very much for that. Two questions from my side, please. First one is on the LTV, which obviously now is above 45%, which I guess was broadly expected. Can you give us an update on how you think to bring that down going forward, and in conjunction with that, an update on your thoughts on the bridge financing for ROBYG? Mm-hmm. That would be the first one. And the second question is related to Poland. And I just wanted to get a bit more clarity on how you think about your FFO2 development over the next, say, 9 months, how FFO2 for ROBYG was basically in the first quarter, but also on your commentary that basically mortgage rates are increasing, obviously, in Poland, which is having an impact on, which could potentially have an impact on your development completions, et cetera, whether you wanted to hold or to sell. Can you give us a sense of how much more expensive flats have become for people, and if you want to get a mortgage rate, what you're paying now for a flat compared to, say, for example, 6 months ago?
Yeah, of course, happy to do so. Good morning, Sander. I start with the first question regarding the LTV development. It's correct, the LTV stands now at 47%. Well, if we pencil in, let's say, a slightly reduced valuation gain just for illustration purposes compared to last year, and if you assume some asset disposals in Germany, which we're already planning, which are, I would say, on the way, so you shouldn't expect massive disposals, but perhaps something in the volume of 100, 150 million more than normally, then basically already at our LTV target of 45%. Regarding your question of the refinancing of the bridge loan, well, in general, we always said the Polish business is something, as you expect and already see in the first project, high yields, that absolutely also justifies equity contribution. And here I'm talking more and more generally. You know that we're investing, if you look at the residential for rent pipeline, 2 billion euros in Poland over the next 6 to 7 years. Is this something that we want to do completely debt finance and want to keep the LTV just with the help of valuation gains on the level where it is? That would not be our style. On the other side, you know that we've been always very careful with our equity. I mean, the last capital increase at TEG is now 10 years ago. Also at that time in 2012, in connection with other acquisitions. So therefore, it's something where we clearly think a lot about it, where there's always a plan B. Plan B would be even more disposals, whether this is in Poland or whether this is in Germany. But you should expect that, as I said, in the course of 2022, we will refinance the bridge loan, which matures in July 2023. So clearly we will not wait until the very last day for that. Looking at the FFO2 development, well, for 2022, the good thing is, I think 98% of the units that are planned to be handed over in 2022 are already sold. So there's not really anything at risk for the FFO2 guidance for 2022, and the constructions are all the way, contracts are signed. So when we talk about, for example, reduction in sales, if this would be the case in the next quarters, we're talking more about sales results for  2023, 2024. How's the situation in Poland? Interest rates have significantly increased. So any private buyer that takes on a mortgage is facing today interest rate, let's say, of 7%-8%. So that's a quite strong increase compared to, for example, last year. I mean, it's fair to say that that should have a reducing effect in sales. So we would be surprised if we see in the next quarters not any effect on that. But on the other side, what is still absolutely there is the demand from people to live in new apartments. And if buying an apartment is less an alternative, then renting an apartment is even more becoming popular. So therefore, this was really, it would be really supportive for our strategy to rent out apartments. And as I mentioned some minutes back, I mean, of course, you see we've done a preliminary split of our portfolio leading to the 20,000 residential for rent units and still a significant sales pipeline of around 18,000 units. If you see the demand from the is stronger from the rental business, the apartments are not that different. So doing here some conversions into residential for rent products is not really something complex. And also a reason why we did this split in the past was that we were careful and thought, well, perhaps, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 units renting in one location is perhaps a little bit too much for the market. So let's in this micro location, so perhaps do a split and also sell some apartments in this specific location. If there's more demand from the renter side, yeah, of course, we can do more. So therefore, sounds a little bit contradictory, but this rising interest rates in Poland is not necessarily something negative for our business.
Okay. Just to slightly follow up or maybe push you on that a bit. So I guess this comes back to funding. And to some extent, you're saying like, look, we need to refinance the bridge loan, and you're going to do that this year. And I think you kind of alluded to the fact that some equity component could be required. So basically, A, would you consider to do that at current levels? And slightly related to that, to the extent is, I totally get the point that obviously mortgage rates increasing and therefore you're looking to do more for rent, given that there's still demand to live somewhere. I totally appreciate it. But that, again, will probably require additional funding because, yeah, you can't just debt finance a whole build-to-rent portfolio. So just trying to understand like the various moving parts and how you're thinking about balancing that.
And perhaps to make it clear, when I'm talking about changing in some project the proportion between residential for rent and residential for sale, we're not talking about any cash inflows, cash outflows for 2022. We're more talking now about the next two or three years, so 2023, 2024, so onwards. So for 2022, from the ongoing investments in Poland, basically that's funded. So that's cash we have in the balance sheet, and that's cash that we receive, of course, with the business in Poland, especially from the handovers from ROBYG. So that's more a midterm outlook I tried to give. So you should not expect that we have additional huge funding needs in 2022 because of this change. And again, I just wanted to give an outlook on how we can react if sales in Poland become more difficult. The first quarter was not a bad one in terms of sales, also at ROBYG. So we've been right in our plan. But when we look into the future, I think this is something that one should look at.
Okay. So, but then I understand for 2022 is fine, but thinking about just beyond 2022, if you were to decide to do more for rent, then obviously that does require extra funding, because, yeah, you're keeping it on back on your balance sheet. So, How are you thinking in terms of funding that, not 22, but 23, 24 onwards, given that, given where mortgage rates are where they are, basically?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. That would require more funding from our side, and it would require funding by unsecured debt, and that's what I try to refer to at the beginning. We're convinced that over the years, the Polish business really justifies equity, and we want to do this in a prudent way, and we don't want to weaken our financial metrics. We are clearly committed as well to our investment grade rating. So looking mid to long term, this is clearly something that we would take into account.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question is by Thomas Rothäuser of Deutsche Bank. The line is now open for you.
Morning, everybody. One question, actually, on how to fix the capital structure in, say, in the midterm, beyond 23, as you refer to. I mean, you mentioned disposals as one option. Maybe can get a bit more color here. What do you expect here? Is it straight asset disposals, or is it also joint ventures, or are there any other alternatives you can see?
Yeah, good morning, Thomas. Well, our idea is very clear, and we're talking about straight disposals. So I know that some companies are currently thinking about joint ventures. Don't know exactly the thinking in these special situations, but we would prefer always a clear solution. And I mean, TEG has done property management for third parties in the past as well. I mean, that's now some years back. If you manage a portfolio purely on your own, if you manage a portfolio together with a joint venture partner, I mean, the topic of conflict of interest is always there. You need perhaps to set up different systems. That creates quite a complexity. And, I mean, we have no doubt that the investment market in Germany is strong and will be strong also in the next years. So why not realizing that directly? I think it's not necessary for us to give here signs to the market that we could sell at potential levels and try to keep something in our balance sheet as well as a certain proportion of the portfolio that we sold. So for now, for us, it's clear that we're talking about direct sales of assets and potentially also about sales if this is necessary, increased sales in Poland, for example, also regarding the land bank, because this is really a big asset that we have in Poland, this land bank that we have acquired with the help of our Vantage team in the last 2 years and that we have acquired now with the Robic acquisition.
Okay. Maybe a second question on Poland. I mean, you have supply constraints and higher construction costs, plus, I mean, you refer to potentially lower demand on higher mortgage rates. What can we expect here looking ahead? Or what is your assumption? I mean, I understand this year is safe. Most of it is locked in, but looking further ahead.
Yeah, I think what we expect is that inflation is plateauing to a certain extent. So this topic of construction price inflation in Poland is not really new. So that's not something new in Q1 2022. We've already seen this basically since we are in the market, which is 2.5 years ago. I mean, until now, sales prices have increased and rents have increased. So we're still expecting the margins and yields that we communicated from the beginning. Good thing is, if you look at that margins and gross yields, so 7 to 8% gross yield on our rental product, a sales margin gross of 25% that we expect long term, I mean, there's definitely a buffer. So if we are in, I don't know, 1 or 2 weaker years, that would be still a good result. Please remember that, for example, Robic had a 30% gross margin, which was extraordinary in 2021. So therefore, we are not concerned. This is absolutely not the case that now our business plan assumptions, our results for Poland are changing. But, I mean, you know us, we are looking really into the future, perhaps a little bit more conservative. This was or is the case or has been the case in Germany for years, leading to the fact that we were not that aggressive with acquisitions in the past. Now we've set the foundation for our growth in Poland. As I said, it's not any more necessary to expand the acquisition business in Poland now extremely. That's a good thing. So therefore, just wanted to give a clear signal that we're very well aware of the situation, that until now and everything is in plan, but we are of course aware and observe closely what is happening in the market.
Maybe one other question on Poland and actually on the letting performance. It seems like you're doing quite well with the first project. Maybe you can share your experience there.
Yeah, I mean, the results have been indeed very good, and it would be good to have even more letting apartments already on the market, because additionally, there was this or is this strong demand from people from Ukraine, and a lot of them are also renting apartments in the segment where we are in, which is, you know, not a luxury segment, but clearly, I would say, mid to perhaps upper end of the market at 10, 11 or 12 euros per square meter average rent. So the demand is extremely strong, and it's a fact we have to accept that we are under construction, and that towards the end of 2022, in the course of 2023, we will have more completions, and we expect that the renting process is then quite quick. What we know in Poland is that the pre-letting ratios are not very high. So looking into our experiences from the first project, and people really want to see the more or less finished apartment, and then they sign a contract and move in quite quickly. That takes them a few weeks, and then they move in. We have also, in the meanwhile, the first tenants that extend their contract, which is good. I mean, you know that Poland is an unregulated market. A typical contract is a one-year contract. So the first contracts are expiring now in May, June this year. They have signed 1 year ago. People are happy to extend this, which is also good. So the fluctuation rate, the turnover, seems not to be too high. As these people know that it's difficult for them to find an appropriate apartment on the market. So all the signs that we see here from the letting market are really, really positive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe a last one on leverage. I mean, if we look at leverage in terms of net debt EBITDA, I mean, it's above 14 times, looks relatively high. I mean, what is your target here?
Thank you for this question, because then I can point out perhaps more the development. You know that we've been at net debt to EBITDA of, let's say, around 11 times 1 or 2 years back. What is the reason for the increase in net debt to EBITDA? These are clearly our investments in Poland, which lead then to a sequencing, which is in year one and year two, the investments coming then along with higher debt. So we're building the apartments, and then we are renting out the apartments after 18 to 24 months of construction. So in this time, 2022, 2023, when the most part of the portfolio, of the letting portfolio, is still under construction, it's very natural that this net debt to EBITDA is around 14 to 15 times. But we expect once we are more in the yielding phase, and the yielding phase is then perhaps in 2 years from now on much more visible, this will quite quickly come down. And I think it's for us really good to know that in a world and environment where people, for good reasons, look more at net debt to EBITDA ratio, our ratio quite quickly will be in good shape, as we simply own a portfolio with high yields with good cash flows. So looking then into a time where the largest part of the portfolio is in Poland is yielding, I mean, the net debt to EBITDA ratio should be, again, on levels that we have seen in our portfolio before we started in Poland, which is more than perhaps something around 11 times.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is by Manuel Martin of Oddo BHF. The line is now open for you.
Yes, good morning. Two questions from my side, please. It's a follow-up on Poland. How would you describe, or could you give us a flavor on how the mood is in Poland? I mean, this country is a neighbor country of Ukraine, where we have the war. Doesn't this impact somehow the mood of people working there? That means maybe craftsmen leaving the construction site and going to Ukraine to fight. And also, what about inflation and salaries? Could there be a kind of spiral?
Well, very clear, when we talk about construction price inflation, we are not talking about bottlenecks of craftsmen, extremely strong labor inflation. I mean, the growth of salaries in Poland has been quite strong over the last years, in line with good GDP growth, so that's unchanged. When it comes to construction price inflation, we're talking about increased material prices. And then examples are then material where, for example, oil is needed, and oil is normally coming from Russia or from Belarus. So that's where the construction price inflation or the higher construction price inflation is coming from. And yeah, of course, there are for sure cases where people on the construction sites coming from the Ukraine are now returning to their home country, but at least in our construction sites, our companies, that's not really an issue. So we're talking here about, of course, cases, but not a trend. And as I said, to the contrary, I mean, this massive inflow on people from the Ukraine into Poland will lead to the fact that there are simply also more workers available. And that's something that the Polish economy needs, like, by the way, also the German economy would need. But even in Poland, it will be more pronounced. So, I mean, it's always hard to say that one is benefiting from a war, but for Poland, we're convinced that this is midterm a positive development.
Okay, I see. My second question would be on your strategy in the Polish development activities that you have. I mean, suppose that supply chain disruptions become worse, and you have a lack of material. Where would you, which strategy would you try to do? Would you focus more on build to hold or on build to sell? Any idea on that, or would both ways suffer?
As I said, it could be the case that we put even a little bit more weight on build to hold, but again, for now, we're still in plan, so there's not a decision taken. Just want to make clear that we are really flexible in that regard. I mean, again, this is not the case today, but if we would see where construction price inflation is even stronger, there are problems in supply chain, I mean, then of course we would postpone the start of certain projects that stages that should be natural. This is not the case yet, to say this very clearly, but we are long-term investors in Poland. Yeah, and for us and for shareholders, it's important that we do that really in an efficient way and that we don't overpay for construction contracts. But, I mean, at least this is the opinion of our colleagues in Poland. We already observed that this construction price inflation is plateauing. So a further increase, or at least not a further strong increase, is nothing that we expect as of today. Let's see how this develops, perhaps already in the course of the next quarter or the quarter thereafter. We can give you here more insights and perhaps potentially also report on here some, in our sense, positive developments.
Okay, thank you very much.
Uh, I don't know if there are further questions, so I would ask the candidate operator to answer that. So I'm not sure whether we have now.
And so I hand back to you.
Okay, sorry, there have been some technical problems. Is it correct that there have been no further questions so far?
No further questions so far.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, then thank you all for listening to the call and for your questions. As always, if there's anything else, please feel free to contact our R department or me directly. Happy to answer this follow-up questions. Many thanks again and have a good day. Talk soon.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.